94. This is Herb Bergman of the Oral History Committee of SABRE, and it's my pleasure today to be here with Jim Lytle, a former major leaguer who also played in Japan. I'm sure Jim has some very interesting things to tell us. Jim, I appreciate you giving us the time today.
Well, thank you. It's my pleasure.
Here we are. We're in South Florida on December 12th, 1994. If you don't mind, could you tell us where and when you were born, what your childhood life was like, and when and how you first got involved in baseball?
I was born in Hamilton, Ohio. My parents, Hamilton...
That was, I think, 1946?
1946. Right. And my parents actually lived over in Indiana, and that Hamilton was the closest hospital. And I was raised in Indiana. And started playing baseball. We lived out in the country, so there was no organized leagues around, and started playing actually when I was 11 years old. My father organized a league, and a knothole league for younger kids, and started playing. Through my high school career, of course being from Indiana, basketball was the sport that we played. And in the farming community, we didn't play much baseball. We had a fall schedule of 10 games, which we usually got in maybe 7-8 games in high school. And then in the summer, we played American Legion, but that was a busy time for the farmers, so we played about a 10-game schedule, and then the tournament on that. So we usually played about 15 games in the summertime in American Legion baseball. And I went to Florida State University on a basketball scholarship to play baseball. And I played both at FSU and started on the basketball team my sophomore year and started on the baseball team my sophomore year also and was All-American. I led the nation with 11 home runs that year in 1966. Was All-American. Was drafted in the first round, I think the third choice overall by the Yankees in 66.
Wow. So you were what, an outfielder?
I was an outfielder. I played right field in college and then played center and right in the pros.
Now, was your father involved in baseball ever? How come he formed that?
Well, my dad was a big Yankee fan. And when I was a kid,
how come?
He just liked the Yankees. And when I was a kid, I'm right-handed. I do everything right-handed,
right.
And I hit right-handed. But he wanted me to hit left-handed, so he only let me hit left-handed when he would go out and play with me.
Uh-huh.
And so I do everything right-handed except swing a golf club and a baseball bat. He wanted me to sign with the Yankees. That was his dream, and I did.
Yeah, I know. That eventually happened. Well, apparently you did very well at college. Did you find the level of competition was getting increasingly harder, or it just was no problem for you?
Well, I did well. I had played so little baseball, coming up. I'd done was play basketball most of my life. And didn't realize that I had jumped into major college baseball. I just went and played and did well. And then I think it all happened so fast. And then after my sophomore year, I was in the pros. And that was, then I realized that, wow.
You suddenly realized what was going to happen to you.
Yeah.
Did you receive any particular coaching, let's say at high school or at college, that you felt helped you? Or just natural ability at this point?
Well, I think in college I played for Fred Hatfield, who they called Suitcase Fred Hatfield. He played for 11 major league teams, I think. At that time there was only 12.
It's a good nickname.
And he helped me out a lot. Mainly just a lot of batting practice and being aggressive at the plate.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he was a big factor in my career.
Anything particular that the aggressiveness, in other words, the mental part of the game?
The mental part of the game, he was out there, he always had fun. He kept you loose. and made baseball a fun game. And I think when I got the pros, it wasn't as fun as it was in college. You didn't have that same attitude.
Right.
Or at least the managers that I played for. I played with some that did.
Right.
But the first three or four managers that I played for in pro ball were a little more serious. And so, you know, it was a different game.
So how did it come about that you ended up as a professional? What happened?
Well, my sophomore year at FSU was really good and made All-American. And, of course, we had tons of scouts at the games all the time. And a lot of the scouts asked me if I was drafted, would I sign? And even though I was doing as well as I was on a national basis, I had no idea that I would be drafted that soon in the draft. And I think just about every club asked me if I would sign, except the Yankees. I didn't talk to a Yankee scout, and I was very surprised when the Yankees drafted.
Did you have aspirations as a kid to be a professional ball player?
I was, again, being from Indiana, I always wanted to play professional basketball. But at 5'11", I didn't grow tall enough. A bird dog scout for the Cincinnati Reds saw me play a couple times, and he's the one that got me to go to Florida State. He said, you've got to go somewhere where you can play some baseball, because I think you can do well. And that was, pushed me in that direction.
So then you really began to think you had a shot at playing pro ball.
Yeah.
So how did it happen that you ended up signing professional?
Well, like I said, I was drafted by the Yankees in the first
round. Was there
And that was the first year of the draft, I believe.
That year was
1966.
Okay.
And, I guess they had the draft the year before, 65, with Reggie Jackson, I think. And at that time, you could be drafted at any time. You didn't have to finish college. Yankees drafted me, took me to New York for a week and kind of showcased me, and I signed a contract and went to Fort Lauderdale and started playing.
You mind telling us what your signing was?
Back then, 1966, I signed for $55,000. The Yankees paid for the remaining 2 years of my education, and they gave me a new shirt of life.
Well, that was a lot of money, by the way.
Yeah, it was.
I'm sure your father was.
He was. He was very proud.
Did you guys use agents back then, or your father more or less?
No, we didn't use agents. I think agents didn't really come in start into the game, I think, until the late '60s, mid '60s, late '60s.
So basically, it was your father and you who went back and forth. So what happened now?
I went to Fort Lauderdale and had a mediocre season there the following year.
You mean at the you played for the minor league team?
Yeah.
Or was that Class A?
Class A, the Fort Lauderdale Yankees. And the following year, they also found out that year that I needed glasses, because we started playing night baseball, and I had never played night baseball. So I went and got glasses, and the next year I went to Greensboro. Had a good year there.
That was level.
And that's Class A, but it's
a little higher right,
Class A at the time it was than the Florida State League. And that was in the Carolina League. And then I went to Syracuse in AAA the following year. And skipped Double A and struggled that year. Hit about 230 something, I believe, was my average.
So your initial problem at A ball was, you think, the glasses.
I think it was the glasses,
and that really helped.
And
you.
That helped me out from that point. And then when I skipped Double A and went into Triple A, I think that, that was a little bit too much of a jump for me because I struggled. But the following year, I hit. Like 313 in Triple A.
What was it? The pitching and
The pitching and just the caliber,
the level, the
defense,
level.
A little bit of everything. Everything was a lot better in Triple A than it was in A.
Right. But apparently, you began to learn.
Yeah, I picked up on it, and you know, you got to see a lot more curveballs and off speed in AAA, and pitchers with a little better control, and had to become a little more disciplined in AAA.
Was it more? Would you attribute your beginning to learn at AAA to coaching, game experience, or a little bit of both?
Well, I think it was a little bit of both. The game experience, playing with some older players in AAA. You got guys that have come back from the big leagues, mm-hmm. and up and down, and just, you know, seeing what you need to do. And I think that helped. Plus, the coaching was, you know, getting a little.
You came back from the big leagues, and we're now playing in minors. What was their attitude? Were they look at you as competition, or were they helpful, or did it depend?
Well, I some of them were helpful. Some of them, were set on getting back to the big leagues,
right.
And it was a combination of.
Remember one or two guys who were really nice and helpful?
I think Hal Renick was there, pitched with the Yankees,
uh-huh.
And you know, he was very calm about the whole thing. It was really the end of his career,
mm-hmm.
And he was very helpful. I think there were a lot of players with his attitude
and
his he had been there,
right.
And played and was comfortable with the situation being in AAA.
Right.
And he was a big help. We had Steve Whitaker came back,
mm-hmm.
While I was there. And I think you talk to Steve today, and he would probably say the same thing. He lives down in Hollywood down there. I see him occasionally.
Oh.
And he said he'd do things a lot different. And when he came back, he was no help. He was mad because he was in AAA. But, you had a mixture of both. People that were helpful and people that were not.
How would you characterize your own baseball strengths and weaknesses at this point?
Well, I had real good speed, was excellent defensive ball player with a real good arm, and I still, I had been in professional baseball now for 3 years, but still I was, I hadn't played enough baseball,
mm-hmm.
And I don't think, I was still having problems hitting the breaking ball and the off-speed stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't really learn to hit the breaking ball until I went to Japan. And I think that was one reason why I didn't stay around the big leagues longer than I did.
Okay, we'll get to that. Any particular outfield position?
I played mostly right field and center field, center field in AAA ball. And then when I went to the Yankees, I played a little bit of both.
Well, you said you had a good arm. Okay, so what happened at AAA eventually?
Eventually, I went back, started out 69 in AAA, and was doing really well, got called up, struggled in the big leagues, sent back down, and then...
Okay, can we go back to that? Do you remember the moment when you were told you were going up to the big leagues?
It was right before a ball game, and... the manager told me I was going to the big leagues, but they were on the West Coast and weren't coming back, so I was going to play there that night and then go to New York tomorrow. So I went ahead and I played that.
How did you feel about it? Was that a surprise?
I was elated. We were getting beat, I think, some tragic score or whatever it was, and Dave McDonald was playing left field that night, and I was in center field, and Dave was the first baseman. We're real good friends. He lives right down the road here too, and I was laughing. We're getting beaten. I was always, pretty serious about the game, and he asked me 3 or 4 times that night. We came balls that were hit into left center field, and I was trying to cover for him because he wasn't an outfielder. So I got over to see him a few times. I'm over fielding balls off the wall and throwing them in, and kind of chuckling and laughing and. And he asked me a couple of times, he said, "What's wrong with you tonight?" He said, "Are you drunk or something?" but then after the game, the manager announced that I was that I was going to the big leagues.
Then they understood.
And, they understood. So we kind of had a party that night, and in 69, that was still early May, mm-hmm. and my wife was pregnant with our daughter. It was about mm-hmm. mid-May, I guess. She was pregnant with our daughter, who was due, and we had a party that night. We were about 3 blocks from the stadium, and uh-huh. about midnight, we heard fire engines, and somebody said, oh, the stadium burning down. And I went to the ballpark the next morning to pick up my ticket to fly to New York, and it was the stadium. MacArthur wow. Stadium caught on fire.
They didn't suspect you having a celebration.
Well, no, they suspected a couple of the other outfielders who were doing well also.
So what happened with that stadium?
When I came back, yeah. the team went to where was it? They went to the... There was New York Penn League. Was it Albany or wasn't Albany? It was Binghamton.
Oh, okay.
And the team went to Binghamton to play, and they redid the stadium to make it playable. I was in the big leagues for about a month and a half. Mm-hmm. And when I came back, the team moved back, so I missed that whole move.
So you went out in a blaze of glory. That was bad.
Yeah.
Your dad, I assume?
I called my dad and I said,
he must have been in heaven.
I said, I'm going to Yankee Stadium. And he said, that's great. They flew up to New York. They couldn't come up that soon, but they flew up to see me play a few games right after that.
Uh-huh. What kind of reception did you get from this was the New York Yankees. And you were a rookie. What kind of reception did you get?
Well, I think it was pretty typical of anybody that goes to the big leagues. I had been in spring training with all the guys.
Oh, right. Yeah.
So I knew everybody there, and everybody welcomed me and wished me good luck. And
so they were a pretty nice bunch of guys.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Right. Remember the first game you got at first at bat, etc.
The first game was against the Angels, mm-hmm. and Jack Fisher was pitching.
Okay.
And I think the first at bat I had flown out, and the second at bat I came up with the bases loaded. Of course, Jack was a knuckleballer,
mm-hmm.
and I hit a line drive right back at him. He knocked it down, but uh-huh. I beat it out and got an RBI. And that was my first hit in the big leagues.
Okay, you just take
and
it.
That was also a day that they had for Mickey Mantle and DiMaggio. And the stadium was packed.
Oh, old-timers day.
No, it wasn't old-timers
just a
day.
Special, uh-huh.
It was a special day that they had for them. It was the middle of May, mm-hmm. and it was, I don't remember what the day was called.
Right, right.
But the stadium was completely
packed. Had you ever been in Yankee Stadium before?
When I originally signed, I went there for a week, but had seen nothing like that.
Right,
you know,
right.
A completely packed stadium, plus I was playing that day, uh-huh. so... It was exciting.
What was going on inside of you, your first at bat?
Oh, I was nervous.
Butterflies.
Butterflies and the
right.
whole thing. You know, stepping in the batter's box, it was
right,
tough
right.
to get in there.
Right.
And, after the first at bat, a couple of plays in the outfield, you kind of settle in a little bit.
Did they give you the ball, the first pitch?
Yeah.
Still have it?
Yeah, I still have
That's
it.
That's great. You were used as a starter for a while, or?
Ralph Houck was a manager, and
yeah.
he platooned me.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't play me against the left-handers, and I platooned the whole time I was with him. Well, just about the whole time I was in the big leagues, actually.
Okay, I know you didn't have a choice in the matter. How did you feel about that?
Well, I wanted to play every day,
yeah.
but, they saw otherwise, and we had Ronnie Woods at the time, and he was a pretty good outfielder and pretty good right-handed hitter, so I platooned with him. And it was
What was it like living in the New York area from Indiana? I bet you lived in New Jersey?
We lived in Jersey.
You know, most people are, yeah.
It was a lot different from living on the farm. And,
yeah, right.
It was definitely an adjustment,
yeah.
driving across the George Washington Bridge to
yeah,
Yankee
yeah,
Stadium.
Yeah,
and everything, but I really didn't care. I was in the big leagues.
That's right. Did you go home in the off season?
Well, I was, I think that year, 69, 70, I still came back to Florida and was completing my education.
Oh, right, okay.
And Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
And finally got that over with after the
You did 70. Get your degree.
I got my degree mm-hmm. after the 70 season.
Mm-hmm. Did it have anything to do with agriculture? Because we know that's what you're in.
No, I always wanted to be a basketball coach when, you know, coming through high school.
That.
So I majored in physical education and mathematics. And, and actually did some teaching in Panama. My wife was from the Panama Canal Zone. And one winter we spent down there, and I taught the whole winter when I was down there.
You mean with sports?
No, okay. Just teaching school. And,
I mean, what subject? Like,
PE, and I had a couple of general math classes.
Oh, great. Great. That's nice to hear that you did. Did you go back and finish up? Because I think a lot of guys
I finished up, and I did some coaching, high school basketball coaching here in South Florida for a couple of years.
Okay. Now, what about your hitting? Did you get a chance to really improve on that, or did they work on it with you?
They worked on it. Dick Houser was there at the
time,
and Dick worked with me, taught me to, because I had real good speed, and he taught me to bunt, and, you know, I could always just kind of slap it down on the ground and go, but he taught me to bunt, and the one year that we had Kurt Bluffery, I guess it was 70, they traded Pepitone for Bluffery, and I was kind of Bluffery's caddy most of the year, and I ended up hitting 310 on the season, and played, I guess, the last month or so of the season, and ended up hitting 310, and I was, the following year, 71, I was starting outfielder, right fielder for the Yankees. And we went to Boston, opened the season there, and then went to Washington, D.C., and I had an appendectomy.
Really?
And while we were in Washington, and they called Ronnie Bloomberg up. And so, and Ronnie was just caught fire. He wasn't doing that well in the minor leagues, but they didn't have anybody else at the time, so they called him up, and he came up and caught fire. And, and I ended up getting traded to the White Sox.
When you were like hitting 310, were you beginning to zone in a little bit on things?
Or
mean the curveball you were beginning
to? Right. I was beginning to.
You were playing regularly, and you felt that.
I was still being platooned, but I was playing against all the right-handed hitters.
Yeah.
And and felt very confident at the plate. And went through spring training. I had a good spring. And for the 70 season, 71 season, I guess it was, and was very confident at the time. And then the appendectomy hit, and Bloomberg came up, and that was...
Right. There's a lot of careers that are affected that way.
So from that point on, I was used basically as a pinch hitter and defensive replacement.
Okay. I'm looking at the baseball encyclopedia here. So in 1972, you went to the White Sox, and they platooned you also?
That was a weird situation. They brought me over there, and I went to the instructional league to learn to play second base. I had hit well against the White Sox throughout the 3 years I was with the Yankees. And so the White Sox took me over to the instructional league to teach me how to play second base. So I went through over to Sarasota, the instructional league, and spring training came, and they put me in the outfield, but they had Johnstone and Reichardt in center field, and Pat Kelly in right, and Carlos May in left. And so I really didn't have a place to play. I was just kind of there, filling in this and that and the other. I was doing well. I was doing a lot of pinch hitting. And
I mentioned they were grooming you for second base for a while. Well, what was that? There was a vacancy in the organization?
Mike Andrews had come over from the Red Sox, and I guess he had had a back injury or mm-hmm. something and was having some problems. And we went into spring training. Nothing was ever said to me about you
right.
know, so I went to him and asked him what was going on. I said, well, Mike's going to be the second baseman. So at that point, I just went back to the outfield and started working.
In your short experience working second, how did you find it?
It was, I had played infield in high school.
Oh, I see.
I had played shortstop, so it wasn't too difficult, but I'd rather play the outfield.
Right, right.
Or shortstop, I don't know. I didn't like second base. Shortstop, I loved to play, second, I didn't, for whatever reason, I didn't like to play it.
Okay, but apparently it didn't last for too long. I see you were with the White Sox for only that 1 year. And so what happened then?
I ended up getting traded to the Expos.
Montreal.
And
this is 1973 now.
73.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was just the personnel who was involved with the trade, you know?
Actually, they bought me.
I see.
The Expos bought me off of the AAA team in Denver.
Okay.
And I had gone to Denver as a player coach, and I liked Denver, so I figured, and ended up that the Expos bought me, and I went to Montreal.
Okay. And what did they? What were their plans for you?
Well, Ronnie Woods was there again, so we platooned in center field.
Okay.
And actually played most of the most of the year with them. Mm-hmm.
It's probably one of the motivations of buying you.
I guess so. Gene Mock was the manager.
Right.
His deal.
Fit, right.
You know, he platooned mm-hmm. a lot, and mm-hmm. And I fit right in. So. We got off. We got off on a pretty good foot there. So I enjoyed playing in Montreal.
That was in Jarry Park, right?
It was in the old Jarry Park, where the fans were sitting right there next.
How
to
did you like that?
I liked it. The mm-hmm. weather I didn't like, but
right.
but I liked the stadium and more the small town atmosphere
yeah.
than New York and Chicago.
Yeah.
So I think I was a little more relaxed than at home.
Yeah, the ballpark itself, I've been there, was
right.
in a way really nice. So you were with Montreal, 73, 4 and 5, I think.
And
part of 70.
Part of 76. Yeah.
And basically during those 3 years, more or less platooning and defensive replacement.
I was actually... I think sold to the Mets 1 year there, went back to the White Sox, and then back to Montreal again.
Okay, but you never appeared in a game for the Mets.
Right, I was in the minor leagues
okay.
For a little while with the Mets and the White Sox, and then came back to the Expos.
Okay.
And then went to the Dodgers at the end of the 76 season.
That, I see that. And how did that come about?
Actually... The Expos wanted to send me back to the minor leagues again, and I refused to go. And I quit and went to Indiana to my parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
And I was there for 11 days.
Why did you refuse? Why did you refuse?
Because I was hitting 286, I think, and I was doing well, and there was no reason.
You thought you were being a shortchanged.
Yeah, I felt that I was.
Mm-hmm.
And Mock was gone. Carl Keel was the manager at the time, and there was kind of a switch over in personnel, and I felt that, there was nothing in it for me to go back to the minor leagues.
Right.
Jim Fanning was the general manager, and he told me, he said, if you can find a deal for yourself, go ahead. So Cincinnati and the Dodgers wanted me, and Fanning says, all they want to give is minor leaguers for you. I said, well, you're sending me to the minor leagues.
Right.
You think that's all I'm worth? Meanwhile, a new basic agreement was signed.
Right.
And under the new basic agreement, any player in my situation, 4 years in the big leagues and whatever, mm-hmm. Could become a free agent. So Marvin, I called Marvin Miller, and he said, you are a free agent. All you have to do is call and notify the Expos. So I called and notified him, went to the Dodgers as a free agent.
What I'd like to do with you is sort of summarize some of the things about your major league career, and then we can talk about Japan a little bit. Any particular game stand out in your mind as far as your personal achievement?
Back to the first game, where the, 57,000 fans in Yankee Stadium had your first game in the big leagues. That was very exciting. I had a game against the White Sox. I think I mentioned before that I always did well against the White Sox. I had a game against the White Sox in Chicago. Then I went 4-for-4 and drove in a couple runs, threw out a couple guys at the plate.
Okay.
And that was a big game for me. In Montreal, I had a couple of game-winning hits. I had a pinch-hit home run against the Pirates to tie the game off of Dave Justy one time.
Mm-hmm.
And if I can throw in a story about Justy.
Absolutely.
About 1987, I think it was, or 88, I went back to Syracuse for an old-timers game. And Dave Justy was there. And I had hit this home run off of Justy in Montreal on a 3-1 count in the eighth inning to tie the score. And to tie the game in Montreal. So when we come back to this game in Syracuse in 1988, now this happened in 75, I think, in the big leagues. So in 88,
In 78.
We're in 88 in the old-timers game.
Oh, the old-timers game. Oh, okay, right.
You're
10 years later.
12, 15 years later.
Okay.
Justy's pitching against us, and he's still got pretty good speed. And I come to the plate, and he's pitching. He runs the count 3-1.
Deja vu.
And same count, and he tried, and back in Montreal, he tried to throw me a fastball inside.
Okay, so the count once again was 3-1.
It's 3-1, and Justy, I'm remembering what happened in Montreal, that he tried to come inside on me to get me out, and I hit the home run. So the count's 3-1 in Syracuse 12, 15 years later, and sure enough, he comes inside again. Well, I was a little bit older, couldn't get the bat around. I was looking for the pitch, and I popped it up. And so I go to him after the game, and I mentioned it to him. I said, do you remember?
Yeah.
He said, yeah. I didn't even have to tell him the situation. He said, yeah, I wanted to see if you could hit it out again.
He remembered it. He remembered it also.
So he remembered it also.
That's a good story.
That was a funny story.
Do you remember in the big leagues anything particularly embarrassing that happened during the game, either to you or to somebody else?
I remember we were in Oakland when I was with the Yankees in 69 when they called me up, and Catfish Hunter was pitching, and he struck me out four times on all high fastballs, and I'm just cutting and slashing and swinging, and he's just throwing them higher and higher and going right up the ladder with me, and I think that was one of my most embarrassing days.
Well, considering it was Catfish Hunter, I don't think you have too much to do with that. And there were anything embarrassing that happened to somebody else during a game? Or anything really funny that happened during a game?
To other players?
What do you say? Either one.
Well, I relate a story about Jim Palmer with the Orioles.
Yeah.
When I was with the Yankees, I hit him very well. And one day we went into Baltimore, and they're on the field practicing, and it's time for us to take the field.
and I passed Palmer on the way. I'm going on the field, and he's coming off. And he said, "Are you playing today?" I said, "Are you pitching today?" Because I think I was something like 9 for 12 off of him in the big leagues.
Wow.
So that was kind of a funny story.
Looking back, you played again with some of the better known managers of baseball. Look, thumbnail capsule of Ralph Houck.
Ralph, Marine Corps sergeant,
right.
Kind of carried that into the big leagues. Mm-hmm. And Ralph liked to see guys that really played hard, worked hard. Mm-hmm. I think one of his favorite ball players was John Ellis.
Yeah.
And John used to throw bats and scream and holler and beat his head against the wall. And Ralph liked that kind of, you know, if he didn't really produce well, of course that was one of his favorite ball players. But John was always, you know, very determined.
Mm-hmm.
Break bats and helmets, and Ralph kind of liked that sort of thing. Ralph was a ball player's manager.
Right.
Ralph stuck up for his ball players and protected them against the press or mm-hmm. whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think he got, you know, a lot of respect from the ball players mm-hmm. for that. If you didn't.
Right.
If you didn't fit Ralph's mold, he didn't care for you. When I left the Yankees, he had sent me up to pinch hit in a game against the Orioles, and we were down 5 or 6 runs, and the Orioles had clinched the pennant I think the night before against us. Of course, they were like 10-12 games ahead of us. It was, you know, which night were they going to clinch it? So Ralph was kind of upset, and he sent me up to pinch hit, and I struck out and went in and asked after the game to be traded. And he was coming across the desk after me to to strangle me.
How about Chuck Towns? Different kind of guy.
Chuck he kind of left everybody alone. Yeah. Dick Allen came to the White Sox the same year I went there.
Mm-hmm.
And Dick didn't practice. He just showed up for the games and played. And that kind of hurt the team, really, because we had some other guys that wanted to do the same thing that weren't playing very well.
Right.
But Dick was playing well. Chuck was a very good PR guy.
Mm.
You know, he said the things that people wanted to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And was, you know, a different, a lot, maybe
almost
completely
the exact
opposite. Than Ralph Houck was.
How about Gene Mott?
He knew, he had all the answers to everything.
Mm-hmm.
And right or wrong, he was the manager and they were the answers. He was, I think the team that we had in Montreal, I think he kind of molded around his type of plan because he liked the platoon. He liked to make changes and that sort of thing. And I remember one day we were in Cincinnati and they had a left-handed pitcher pitching, Cincinnati did. And I'm sitting on the bench and it's like the fifth inning. And Bobby Tolan comes to the plate,
mm-hmm.
and Gene just turns around and says, "Lytle, go in and play left field." I wasn't even loose.
Uh-huh.
And I never played left field with Montreal. I always played center field.
Did you figure out why when they asked you to do that?
After it happened, I figured out why. Well, Tolan was hitting him. We pitched him away.
Outside, he's a left-handed hitter.
He's a left-handed hitter. There's a runner on first base. And we switched swung around on Tolan to play in the left field. So I go in the first pitch. Tolan hits down the left field line into the corner. I come over. I field the ball off the left field. You know, I hadn't played left field, so I got a little weird corner down there. Luckily, the ball bounced to me. Well, the runner going first to third, I didn't have a shot on, but Tolan I had a shot on. I just came up, fielded, and threw to second base and behind the lead runner and threw him out.
Wow.
And that was the third out of the inning. I come in, leading off the inning. There's a left-hander pitching. He pinch hits for me, and that was it. I was in the game
that
for one.
Funny.
So Mott did a lot of stuff like that. He was right a lot of times.
Yeah.
Sometimes he was wrong. So, you know, I was in and out of the game before I even got loose.
Funny. So things had to be done his way.
Yeah. Right. We would pitch hitters a certain way, and, you know, I'd be playing center field, and he would tell me to play over the pitcher's right shoulder or left shoulder. You know, it's only a matter of moving 3 feet.
I know.
And that sort of thing.
Yeah. Now, when you went to the Dodgers, was Walter Austin for part of the season?
That was Walt's last year.
Yeah, so you did play a little bit under him.
And I played under Walt. Lasorda took over the last 2 weeks of the season.
Right, okay. So,
but
how would you characterize him?
He was an easygoing manager. You had to play his game.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as you played his game, he was pretty easy going.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoyed playing for him.
How about Lasorda?
Lasorda, I had played against
him. It was only
him
a couple of weeks, you said.
Right.
Yeah.
He only managed a couple of weeks. I had played against Lasorda in the minor leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people you play, like Tony La Russa, I played against and played with. I hated Tony when I played against him. We were best friends when we played together.
Great competitor,
and yes, he is.
Yeah.
And Lasorda was, I didn't like him when I played against him. And when I went to the Dodgers and he took over as manager, I still didn't like him, to be truthful.
Uh-huh.
He was, I think, a little too much of a Hollywood scene and...
Yeah,
he's
noted
all
for
of
that.
That.
Yeah.
And he had, of course, I went in with all these guys he had managed in AAA, which were his kids.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's got them in the big leagues. So, you know, I was shuffled out. Now, with Austin brought me in,
yeah,
and Austin had told me that I was going to be there the following year.
But then Austin himself
and
left.
And when Austin left,
yeah,
you know, Lasorda, he'd got all of his kids now, they had a bunch of young kids in the minor leagues that were doing real well.
Uh-huh.
They had to protect them, and they wanted me to go to AAA, the Dodgers did, and for a month, and then they were going to call me back to the big leagues.
Right.
I've heard that story before, and so I asked to be released. And
this will bring us to the Japanese situation, which we'll get into in a minute. Of all of these managers you play for, who would you say that most of the guys really you would have preferred to play for? Was it really an individual type thing?
I think it's an individual type
yeah.
thing. My favorite manager that I ever played for,
yeah.
well, in professional ball, was Loren Bay.
And where was that?
Loren was in Denver with in AAA with the White Sox.
I think he used to be a player, right?
He played
yeah.
with the Yankees.
What was there about him
that
made you feel that way?
Just the way he handled... We had a lot of variations on that team. We had Tony La Russa was on the team.
Mm-hmm.
I was on the team.
Mm-hmm.
We were older ball players. Al Downing was on the team.
Right.
Lamar Johnson was on the team. Goose Gossage was on the team. So we
yeah.
had an array of people there.
Wide variety of personalities.
And
mm-hmm.
the personalities, age,
yeah.
talent,
mm-hmm.
And everything. And Loren seemed to handle all of them.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, a lot of managers, you know, if they didn't like you, you know, you're gone for whatever reason. But Loren put the best team on the field. He fielded the best players he had. He kept everybody happy. I mean, somebody might really get upset with him
mm-hmm.
and this and that and the other. And he called them into his office after the game, and they'd be screaming and shouting, and they'd come out with their arm around each other, you know. But everybody liked him on the team. And
respected him.
And respected
him. You're not the first player who's told me that, that the ability to handle people was, in a way, more important than the technical aspect, which, you know, a lot of people could do that, but his ability to handle people.
Right. Yeah. Everybody wanted to play for Lauren. Of course, we started out the year 18-0, so.
Well, that helps. That helps morale a lot.
Yeah.
A particular player, I noticed the guys you played with and against, and a lot of them are either Hall of Fame or on their way, etc. And what guys you played with on the same team? Anybody in particular stand out, or do you have any particularly fun memories?
I played with Dick Allen, which was an unusual person to play with.
Great natural talent, right?
Following his career and everything. I lockered beside Dick when I was with the White Sox. And great talent and really nice guy. He just didn't like the press for what they had done to him in Philadelphia. He just, I think that pushed him aside. And as far as, you know, he was friends with everybody on the team, but he was just kind of, you know, show up, play the game, and...
How about his work ethic?
He didn't work. he got to the ballpark right before infield.
Right,
he took infield,
right.
And that was it. He wasn't in spring training that year.
Right.
We had the strike in 72, and when we did settle the strike, there wasn't anybody that worked harder than him. Between the settlement of the strike and the opening
of
the season.
Right, right.
He worked as hard as anybody, but the guy was just fantastic talent.
You feel it could have even been better if he worked a little more with us?
You know, I feel that he could have.
Yeah, but you don't
really know. Who knows?
Yeah, right. Who is the best team you ever played against?
The best team I played against, probably the Baltimore team in the late 60s, early 70s.
Yeah, when they won the World Championship.
And they came at you from all different angles, defensive, offensive, pitching. It was just,
Any particular play you ever remember anybody pulling that was like, you know, really?
When I was in Montreal, Willie Davis came. And he was there. That's when I went to the Dodgers. And Willie was the most unbelievable outfield. I played against him when he was at the Dodgers, too. And you'd see him make catches that there was no way anybody could get to him. And he got to the ball.
How's it comparing with Paul Blair?
Blair, you could tell he was going to get to the ball.
Oh, okay.
You could tell, boom, the ball is hit. And you look at Blair, he's flying. He's wide open.
Right.
Willie looked like he was just gliding. He didn't look like he was running.
Okay.
And